A5, number 4A.
Yes, yeah, I said this morning that I would like to have a chatty afternoon telling you about the story how the new concept of the seventh synonymous term as being foundational for a science has come into the thought of the Christian Science field. And I showed you that a new thought goes through that revolution from an accepted paradigm in normal science through the stage of an anomaly and revolving and bringing up a new paradigm of extraordinary science. Now, what was at the time of the late 1930s, the old paradigm and normal science in Christian Science? It has been generally accepted in regard to the seven synonymous terms that, first, they are freely interchangeable, and second, that they do not form a definite order, that they can be put in any order we like. These were the two great points that were under discussion when John Dolly began to reason out things in the way of the 7 days of creation, beginning to feel that the 7 days of creation, first of all, would symbolize the seven synonymous terms. Therefore, each day or each synonymous term would give a very different concept of being. Though in the days of creation, it is always God that said, "Let there be." Therefore, it's a God genesis of its own nature. Every day of creation presented a completely different aspect of being. So from that point on, he could see that each day would view being from a different angle, therefore that each day has a different characteristic and a different contribution to the nature of being. Second, he began to see that these 7 days of creation have a definite order, an irrevocable order, that spiritually seen, it is impossible to put, say, first the symbolism of the third day, and then perhaps second the symbolism of what we have now as the sixth day, and then third, perhaps to put the symbolism of what we have now as the first day, that this would give no story of creation. Say that if God had said first, "Let there be the dry land," and then second, let man appear and let him have dominion, and then perhaps as a third one said, "Let there be light," and there was light, that such a story would give no logical, ordered story. Therefore, that the days of creation, as they are given in the Bible, form an irrevocable, definite sequence of ideas that are presented in a logical, divinely logical order, starting out from the first inception of a new idea, "Let there be light," developing that inceptive idea of "Let there be light" through the further days to the point of the seventh day of fulfillment, where God rested and saw that everything was good. So he began to see that there is a sequence in the realm of spiritual ideas. And this was absolutely new at that time. At that time, to say that there are ideas that form a definite order which cannot be changed without changing the whole idea that lies behind it, was really heretical. But he could see that even the Bible would give a definite order, and then when he began to see that the definition that Mrs. Eddy had given for God would follow the same order as the 7 days of creation, he began to realize that there is something more behind these two statements than one was thinking. That if the 7 days of creation follow the same spiritual order as the definition of God, which is also presenting the nature of God, and is presenting that in a definite order, that therefore there must be something very deep about this very presentation. What is deep about it? That was his big question. Therefore, his anomaly was, in comparison to the general thought in Christian Science, first, that each synonymous term must have specific characteristics which mainly characterize one synonymous term. And second, was the great thought that the way one orders the seven synonymous term must be something very definite and must have a deep meaning, whatever that meaning was. That was the point round about the middle of the 1930s. He did not yet know the answer. He only had put the right questions, which is always the most important thing in any subject. Can we see the problem, the main problem? The solution really of the main problem is usually easier than to state the right question. That is usually the most important thing. So he had the situation that he began to see, in order to find an answer to this question, he would have to investigate his hypotheses. See, he had the hypothesis, and every theory starts first with a hypothesis. Then you investigate the hypothesis and see if it's true or how far it is true. And when it is found out that it is true, then we can state it as a new theorem or as a new theory or a new, a new theory, yes, in a science. So he had the hypothesis that each synonymous term would have characteristics that were unique and specific for one synonymous term and not for the others. And the second, that there must be a definite order that is ruling that definition which Mrs. Eddy gives on the question, what is God, and gives an answer, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Because he could easily see that Mrs. Eddy must have been laboring with that definition of God quite a bit. Because looking back over the older editions of Science and Health, and looking up how Mrs. Eddy answered that question, what is God, always differently, right through from the first time, right through to 1907, answering always differently by changing constantly the order of the synonymous terms. He could see that Mrs. Eddy was laboring under a big question, namely how to state God not only in its nature, but also in an ordered way. As long as she would just say it, well, there are, God is, and then give seven synonymous terms in any order, in any way, well, it would just mean that's the nature, but there would still be no order in it. But seeing that she was changing it constantly, meaning that she was never happy, really, with what she has been doing up to that point, and feeling out something Not, we didn't know what she was feeling out. But at that point, John Dolly began to feel she is feeling out the world order, the creative order of the 7 days of creation. Because only the order as given now in the answer to what is God coincides with the tonality of the 7 days of creation. Do you see that? And as he began to see that, he could see now she got it. Now she has seen the correlation of Bible teaching with the teaching of Christian Science in regard to the creative aspect of being, the days of creation and the Logos, or the Word of God, given through the seven synonymous terms. So this was the bugle call, so to say, that made Mr. Dolly think here is the key and the clue for a new science. Now, if I make a side note here, because it is interesting here, and then afterwards I take up the thread again, where we were. When I said, you see, Mrs. Eddy labored under the how to give the answer, what is God, up to 1907, because only then she gave it the order we have now. Today we see how much she labored, because in the meantime we have seen something else, which is quite astounding. And I began to see it for the first time. When was that? Let me see. It was around about 1958 or 59, when I was doing some research work on a chapter in the textbook. I found out the following thing, that in that interesting period of Mrs. Eddy's life, 1888 to 91, within those 3 years where she disorganized her first church, where she asked the churches to go on their own, and where she said that she wants to withdraw herself in quietude and think out things, and where she has written, re-edited her textbook and gave out afterwards in 1891 the 50th edition, which was one of the main revisions to which she gave quite a lot of importance. You could see the following thing happening. In that period, in those 3 years period, between the 49th, let's say the 49th edition and the 50th edition, which was such a big change, she first had asked Wiggins to go over the textbook and put the textbook a bit more into logical order. She felt that Wiggins was the man and had the brain to do that, to arrange the subject matter of what she is presenting in the chapters in a more orderly way or more intelligent way, and ask him to do that. And when Wiggins came with his propositions, he said, oh, I can't recognize anymore my textbook. So she gave it up, and she did it herself. So they began to restructure her textbook, the 49th edition. And what she did was, actually, when you compare the 49th with the 50th edition, was actually nothing else but predominantly a paste and scissor job. Or do you say a scissor and paste job? A scissor and paste job. Just taking the text of her textbook of the 49th edition, cutting, so to say, every sentence out and putting them together in a new way. If one compares these two editions, say if you take the chapter on prayer in the 49th edition and the 50th edition, There is practically no additional sentence in it or additional ideas in it. But those two chapters are no more to be recognized in the way that she rearranged the paragraphs and the sentences, put paragraphs which she had, say, on the first page on the seventh page, paragraph which she had on the third page she put perhaps on the ninth page, the paragraph she had perhaps on the 16th page she put on the first page, and things like that. A proper scissor and paste job. Just what an editor of a newspaper does when he gets his news in. He just takes the scissor and paste and cuts out what he seems he wants to do and puts it into an order, and then he reprints it. Do you see what she did? The amount of data, of information, that she had in the 49th was practically the same as the information given in the 50th edition. But the order changed completely. So, what happened? And if one looks how she now presents each chapter in the 50th edition, which is very much near to what we have today as a text, you could see that now each chapter is written in order. Let's say the chapter on prayer would first show the prayer of mind over a page and a half, then perhaps over another two pages the prayer of spirit, then the prayer of soul and of principle, and then of life and then of truth and then of love, and that's the chapter. Now suddenly the presentation of the question of prayer is put into a scientific order. In what scientific order? In the scientific order of the seven as given in the definition of God in our present edition. Can you see what happened? That the 49th edition did not conform to the order of the definition of God. That's why she had to change it. So she was not changing the datas, the information. She was only changing the order. And today, naturally, we know that order is much more important than the datas, because order really gives meaning to the datas. We come back to that later on. I just wanted to bring that out as another sideline. What Mrs. Eddy was working all that time, we were thinking, why did she always revise signs and tales? What was she doing? Didn't she like a comma? Didn't she like a certain term there? All right, she made those alterations too. But the main alterations were of quite a bigger importance, namely to put order and structure into her text. Now, she must have been unaware of what she was doing. Those 3 years, when one looks into her life, were really 3 years of great spiritual insight and depth, because it was also in that period that she added then the chapter Science, Theology, and Medicine, which is one of the most fundamental chapters. And in that period, she must have listened to God very closely, because at that time, when the new edition came out, the 50th edition, her definition of God still did not coincide with the order which she had in the text, in the chapters. I didn't put that clearly, huh?
Yeah.
No, all right, I say it again. You see, the text which she has given, say in each chapter, say let's take the chapter on prayer, was following tonality-wise, tone-wise, the prayer of mind, the prayer of spirit, the prayer of soul, of principle, life, truth, and love. But the definition she had in that edition on what is God was not in that order of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. You got it now, huh? So she only had let spiritual sense tell her how to rearrange the chapters, the text of the chapters, but something was missing. And so from that time on, she was constantly changing in the successive editions, changing the order of the synonymous term in the definition, what is God? Until finally, 1907, she put it the way we have it now and left it that way. So only in 1907 she felt, now I got the ideal. Now I have seen the absolute congruency. Can I say congruency? Absolutely synchronized, so to say, the order of the text in each chapter with the order of the definition of God. That's why she said, that's the explanation why she said somehow in the introduction, you know, that until June, let me see if I have it right here, until June, yeah, she added this, until June 10th, 1907, she had never read these books throughout consecutively in order to elucidate her idealism. Why on earth should she give an exact date, June the 10th, 1907, that year when she changed the order of the synonyms, in her definition, in order to elucidate her idealism? It is as if she would have said, now I found it. Now I've seen how God, the one God, the only subject that really matters, the only subject that really matters, as we have seen, the synonymous term, can be translated to any subject, to every chapter of the textbook, and show every chapter of the textbook within the same line of reasoning of the ideal nature of God, and can present it always translated into every chapter of the textbook, adapted to the a specific question, so that there is an absolute congruency between the definition of God and the presentation of God in every situation. Yeah, can you see how terrific this is? And how long it has taken her. So if it takes some time and until we get it, we must not be dissatisfied. We have also all our whole lifetime to do it. Yes. So I go back to our story where I left it off. I wanted to show here how that fundamental question that John Dolley was bringing up and saying, isn't there a definite order in the synonyms? We can ask another question, which perhaps you already know because I've already once talked about it, namely that if we have seven synonymous terms, and if it is true what the old paradigm has stated, that these seven synonymous terms can be put in any order, that there is no definite order, then naturally we would say, yes, I can see that. You know, I can see that. That if these seven synonymous terms all refer to the one God and are spiritual and therefore without limit, therefore they must be able to blend infinitely. They must be able to reflect themselves infinitely. And so from that standpoint again, we could say, yes, those seven synonymous terms can be put in any order we like. And mathematically you can calculate them. There are 5,040 possibility of how to put the seven into any order. Say, if you write out on a piece of paper each synonymous term and put it into a basket and mix it properly, and then if you by random take out one by one and put them into an order, you could do that 5,040 times until actually you are out of possibilities. But Mrs. Eddy doesn't use 5,040 different orders in her textbook. And this is a question of great importance. Why? Because one begins to see something very big, namely that the seven synonymous terms must be combined with other categories. In other words, as we have had this symbol here of the synonymity, say about dying, well, the pastor who delivers his sermon on Mr. A that has passed on 2 days ago, he certainly is not allowed to take any one of those few dozen synonymous terms and use them for dying. Why not? He has to bring in another category, another aspect of being, namely his theology, for instance. And that allows only to take one or two or three of that whole list, because only those few fit into that category, which has nothing to do with dying, but with another subject, namely his theology. So that the subject theology, for instance, or Indian philosophy, or anything, will determine what you are allowed to take out of these synonymous terms. Yes? Can you see that? Now, we had to see right at the beginning, because the critics came up with that very question. They said, you can have any order, any order. And they wrote that into the Sentinel and so on, attacking not by name, but you know how one does it. One states one's case, so they said they are interchangeable. And so Mr. Dolly began to see there must be something more about those seven synonymous terms than just putting them into a definite order. There must be another category, ruling how you have to use them and in what order you are allowed to put them. And so he began to see that actually what he was considering was not only the category of the seven synonymous term, but the category of the word, a new category that had to do with the foresight of the Holy City. And that those synonymous terms as given in the definition of God are actually the word of God.